Well, we had you a good day. Macclesfield, once again, come to you with the glad tidings, the good news, gospel, that there's hope for us yet. There's a Saviour, a Redeemer, Son of God sent into the world that through Him that you might be saved, salvation in His name and His name alone. You'd like to read something about my Saviour, my Lord Jesus Christ. I have Bibles and I have New Testaments, and I got this here Gospel, an extract from the Bible, Gospel of John. You would like to read something about Jesus, then feel free to come and ask for one. I would gladly place God's written word into your hand. It's God's own infallible record concerning His Son and what He has accomplished, that sinners like you and I, that we might be reconciled to God. That's the good news for Macclesfield sinners today, that there is a Saviour, a Redeemer, a Reconciler, one able to reconcile you to God. And His call is to you today, be ye reconciled to God. While you may, that is, while you have the breath of life in you, who knows? We don't know what a single day will bring forth. And of course, we're living in dangerous times. We're living in times of great and deep apostasy and decline, moral decline in our nation as a result of the apostasy, departure from God. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. But of course, before such times come upon you, it would be suitable for you to be reconciled to God. God loves you. God loves you, Macclesfield sinners. So loved the world, this bad, bad, bad world. So loved it that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. A Saviour, Christ dead for you and alive again from the dead to justify you freely from all things. The free grace of God, the free love of God, the free justification of God. What is justification? Making right. To justify somebody or something is to make that person or that thing right. And of course, well, you need justifying. You need making right because you're not right. Not right by nature. Not right by practice. Not right any which way. But the good news is Christ died for the ungodly, the unholy, those alienated from God and from the life of God. He died for such. He's dead for such. That should you believe, should you turn, should you repent, should you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this great salvation might be yours. But how? The Bible poses the question, how shall we escape if we neglect, reject such great salvation? The Bible doesn't even trouble itself to answer that question. Why? Because the answer is logical. You shall not escape if you neglect this so great salvation. So listen up, people. Listen up, Macclesfield. Wakey, wakey. Time to awake out of your slumber of death. Go to Christ, and He will give you life. Life from the dead for dead souls. You don't get that, of course, in religion, man's religion. Dead religion can't put life into a dead soul. It's a living Savior that you need, and a Savior who has been made available to you. in the love of God that is for you. In order that in going to Jesus, coming to Him as He bids you to, come unto Me, He says, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls, that is, peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding, given to all who trust, all who believe, all who turn from their wicked ways, their evil hearts of unbelief, turn to the only Savior, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners like you, Macclesfield sinners. So the word of God for you here today, taken from the book of Psalms once again, question again, what man is he that liveth and not shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? The certainty, once again, repeated over and over again in God's word in the Bible, don't you know? It is appointed unto man once to die. It's not on God's calendar, don't you know? The decade, the year, the month, the week, the day, the hour, the moment. It's appointed, it's marked in God's calendar. That moment when you are going to breathe your last and go to this world. Divinely appointed. Appointed by God. Now you might have an appointment with the hairdresser, the doctor, the jeweler over there. You can cancel it, postpone it. You put it off altogether. No matter, no cost, no hurt. This appointment, this one you will keep, because it's divinely appointed, God appointed. Appointed unto man once to die. After that, finish, end of story, finito, black hole, nobody knows. No, after this then comes the judgment. So here, repeated once again, just in different words, what man is he that liveth? What living man is there? Ever has been or ever shall be that shall not see death. You will all see it. You will all be faced with it. You might be young, you might be old. When He comes, the grim reaper, He comes to everybody. You might be a king, boys. You might be a great football player, eh? Celebrity. You might just be a street preacher. But everybody faces the grim reaper. Everybody. That time comes when He comes to you and He wraps His slimy fingers around your soul, draws it from your body and returns it to God. Now you might be howling and screaming and saying you're not ready, but it's too late then. Now's the time, Macclesfield sinners. Now's the time to get ready, to be prepared for when the grim reaper comes to you. So that when He comes, you're ready, you're prepared, there's no condemnation for you, you're out of your sin, and you're into Christ, because unless, Macclesfield sinners, hear me, unless you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, and that day, that will be a fearful, dreadful day for you. Bible calls it the King of Terrors. Death, I mean. It comes stalking, terrifying business. But of course, trouble is that most people today, you know, when it comes to that point, that time when they're about to breathe their last, you know, by the medical fraternity, they're drugged up to their eyeballs. And they're totally oblivious to the fact that they're about to fall into a lost eternity, the damnation of hell. That's a cry in shame. That's a crime against your fellow man. It beholds you to be fully awake and fully alert when you're dying, so that you know what's coming to you. But friends, I'm here to tell you, in the face of the certainty of death, and it is an absolute certainty, listen to His words, blood of God. This is God speaking to you. He says, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Will you deliver yourself? You will cure yourself? Have you got a remedy for death that nobody else knows about? No, you have not. Is there a man that liveth that shall not see death? Yourself included. It's an absolute certainty. God appointed unto man once to die. Who knows? Maybe somebody here under the sound of my voice this afternoon. And you won't see Christmas. You won't see the festivities that you're now preparing for. Maybe there's somebody under the sound of my voice here this afternoon. You won't even see tonight. Now is the time, says God. Now is the accepted time, says God, to be reconciled to him. Why? Because it's the only time that you've got. You haven't got tonight. You haven't even got this evening. So now, says God, now is the time to be reconciled. But the question is, how? What's the remedy? What's the cure? How do you overcome? How do you get to that place where you can face death without any fear, without any fear whatsoever? Well, by being reconciled to God. Because the cause of death, you see, it's your sin. There's only one way that you can ever prove that you're not a sinner, and that's by not dying. So if you... No, sir. So if you live forever, if you never die, contrary to this, and I'm speaking to you this afternoon, if you never die, we'll know that you were not a sinner. But if you, just like everybody else, cock your toes up and go out of this world, feet first, naked, the way you come in, the way you go out, if you never die, then we'll believe that you're not a sinner. But the fact of the matter is that all sin that comes short of the glory of God. Young woman asked the question some time ago, why does everybody have to die, she said. Answer, because they're sinners, that's why. The certainty of death and the inevitability of God's judgment lies before you. But God, in the immensity of his love for you, in the greatness of his love for you, has reached down into this world in his Son Jesus Christ in order that you might have life and have life eternal, life everlasting. This is the gospel, the good news that we bring to you to counter the bad news, that is that we're all sinners and we're all facing the certainty of death and the inevitability of God's judgment. There's a way out, there's a way of escape, there's hope in the faith of this certainty that I speak of here this afternoon. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is, no one gets right with God. No one gets to escape death, its terrors, without the Savior, without the Son of God. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the glad tidings. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, who believes into Jesus, escapes everlasting life instead of everlasting death. Everlasting love instead of everlasting flames, fires of hell, in the face of the certainty of death. Outside of Christ, without Jesus, without my Savior, without reconciliation to God, without an end of that contempt and hostility, enmity towards God in your hearts and minds, without an end to that, without repentance of that, coming from that, fleeing from that, into the arms of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Certainty, the terror of death and hell awaits you. It's all that you have to look forward to. No matter what you achieve, no matter what you obtain, no matter what you fill your houses and your wardrobes with, no matter what your phone, laptop, no matter how much money you gather to yourself, nothing. The only certainty you have to look forward to is death. That's the misery. That's the misery of life in a fallen world, as a fallen man and fallen woman, fallen out with God, that is, departed from God, apostatized from God. A way back. There's a way back God has given us, provided us with a way back, His Son, Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself all and came down, took our nature upon Himself, went to the cross, lived and loved and died, rose again from the dead in order that you might, by the free grace and the free love, the free justification of God, that you might be freely justified from all that you ever did. Think on it, every sin, every thought, word and deed that you ever thought, spoken, done, every single one of them, sinful ones. Why? Because of the sinful nature that's in you. Conceived in sin, born in sin, live and die in sin, lost eternity and less, except by the grace of God, freely offered to you, set before you here this afternoon. Unless it's received, unless He's received, unless the gospel's received, Christ, He's the gospel, He's the one that you must receive. He gives you the power to become a child of God, but only He. This is the love of God for sinners of Macclesfield this afternoon. You take Him, you receive Him, you believe in Him, you confide, put your confidence that is in His person and His work, that which He has done. His coming, His living, His loving, His dying, His suffering, bleeding, dying on that cross, rising again from the dead, in order that the certainty, fear and the terror of death might be abolished in you, taken away. Now, presently, no life in you. Why? Alienated from the life of God, that's why. The life apart from God in Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. The one who gives life, the one who takes life, his to give and his to take away at will. Can't deliver yourself, the psalmist says. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? There isn't such one. Never has been and never shall be. Never, never shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave. What shall it profit a man, says Jesus, if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his very soul? What profit, my friends? It's life. Your time in this world, this earthly existence, it's just a little while, just a micro moment related to eternity. Just a micro moment, that's all. A little while, you breathe your last, and you go out the same way that you came in, a sinner, alienated from God and from the life of God, and to spend eternity, a long, long, long time, alienated from God, from any good, from any love, any comfort, the damnation of hell awaits sinners, lost, ruined, undone, and alienated from God. So the certainty of death and the hopelessness, of course, it's himself, because what can a man do to deliver himself from death? I'm sure that the National Health Service today, there are some people who are faced with the trauma of death, and they will give anything. They will give all that they have to be able to deliver themselves from death, or that they could do something to stop it, to hinder it. Maybe, perhaps, in your old age, your life is already diminishing, and you're thinking as you go on, you're thinking more and more about death, because when you're young, you never think about it. When you're latter years, it's never far from your mind, because you know it's coming close. And you will give anything, to claw back a few of those years. Oh, that you could do that. Oh, that somebody else could do it for you. Oh, that you could deliver yourself from death, but you cannot. And a man, born of a woman that has that power, save one, Jesus, Son of God. He holds the keys to death and hell. He opens doors and he shuts them, and nobody does the reverse. You have to understand who he is. The man cries Jesus. He's the King of Glory. He conquered sin and death and hell for those who will believe. That's what he came for. And now, risen from the grave, accomplished the great victory over sin and death and hell, seated at the right hand of God now, and all authority in heaven and earth is given unto him, even over life and death, his to give and his to take. Your life, your very next breath, is in the palm of his hand. His to give and his to take away at will. He holds the key. Nobody else. Not you. Not the National Health Service. Or anybody else. Jesus. You're under his control. You're under his governance. Whether you care to admit it, acknowledge it, whether you like it or not. All authority in heaven and earth, he says, amongst the angelic beings, demonic forces, powers and authorities of this world, prime ministers, kings, presidents, whatever they be, men and women, the homeless and the rich, all of them. Authority, all authority, the power to make you live forever, and the power to make you die forever. But what shall it be? Submission or more rebellion? What shall it be? Huh? Relenting, repenting, turning from your evil hearts of unbelief, and turning to the only Savior, the one who loved a sinner like you, and gave himself for you, who humbled himself to the death of the cross. King of Glory came down into the sin-cursed world and taken by cursed sinners like yourselves and nailed to that tree. A tree that he created, had planted, had grown, caused to grow, and caused to be hacked down so that he could be crucified on it, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could live forever and not die. But it's nothing, nothing to you who pass by. But one day it will be. One day it will be. And I hope for you, Macclesfield, wicked sinners that you are, your apathy and your indifference to God and the things of God and Christ. One day I tell you, you will be very, very interested. I hope for you, I hope for some of you at least anyway, that won't be too late. Sure, self-cure, self-help. Oh, your world is full of that today.
Excuse me.
Not in the face of death.
Excuse me.
Why should I?
Wicked. Because you're in my marketplace. We're not wicked.
It's not your marketplace. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. A wicked-hearted, unbelieving sinner. Complaining about the word of God. That's all she is. That's all any of you are. Damn worthy sinners. But there's a cure. There's a remedy. It's the love of God. But you hold it in contempt. Utter contempt. So what am I to say? Tell me. Please tell me. As an ambassador of Christ, as God's servant here amongst you today, tell me, when I go back to him, what am I to tell him that you said in answer to his gospel, in answer to his love, in answer to his offer of reconciliation? What am I to tell my master that you said? Yeah, your silence says it all. Self-help, self-deliverance from death, from the grim reaper. Oh, you'll complain when he comes with his slimy fingers ready to wrap them round your soul and draw it from your body. You'll be protesting, I'm not ready. Not yet, please. A few more hours. A few more days, please. I'm not ready yet. Go away. What do you want? You want? You can't stay your life. Not one moment long. What's up with you? What's up with you? Get on your knees. Cry out to God that he will mercy on you. It's like I say, time's up, time's up. Out of this world, before God, the judge of all the earth. What a dreadful, dreadful day that will be for you. I'm telling you these things, why? For the same reason Jesus tells you them in the Bible, that you might be saved. It's serious. It's serious. Majority of your religion, even your Christianity in your country, and I don't doubt in Macclesfield today, is all self-help nonsense. It's all skittish religion, lightsome, don't offend anybody, don't scare anybody, don't warn anybody. It's more serious than that, Macclesfield. Life and death I set before you. Heaven and hell I set before you. The love and hate of God I set before you. And skittish religion will not save you. Lightsome religion will not deliver your soul from death either. Only one who can do that. The one who tasted death for sinners. The one who drank down its every last dreg and the wrath of God and the curse of God upon himself in order that you might never ever have to endure eternal torment. Sin's killing you. It's killing you softly. Day by day. It's working, it's operating in you now. It's killing you, Macclesfield sinner. Killing you softly. You're not even aware of it. It's taking the life out of you. And one day it will come to a conclusion. You'll breathe your last and you'll stand before the dreadful judge of all the earth. Who's he, you say? His name is Jesus. The one God has appointed to judge the world, all civilization. Every man, woman, and child born into this world shall be judged by him. Today he would be your savior. Today should you receive him. Today should you reach out the hand of faith and childlike humility of faith and receive the Son of God. Give you the power to become a child of God, deliver you from being what you are by nature, a child of wrath. No longer. Take the wrath and the curse from off of you. Liberate you, set you free. For time and for eternity. So don't be looking to yourself. The face of death, when it comes stalking, don't be looking to yourself. It's yourself that's the problem. It's yourself that's gotten you into the trouble. It's your own selfish lifestyle, you know. You take all the good that God gives you and you use it in the service of sin and Satan the devil. Huh? Selfishness to the uttermost. God don't matter, your neighbor don't matter, nobody matters but you. You're it, you're the one. Huh? And don't let anybody offend you. God, have mercy on you, Michaelsfield sinners. God, have mercy on you today. There's no help in self. No man that ever will deliver himself from death. And not you either. And no, forget that delusionary, imaginary thought that comes to you sometimes. Oh, they'll find a cure for it before it comes to my turn. No, they won't. There's not a man that liveth. Not a man that liveth, ever did or ever shall, that shall not see death, and shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Answer, no. So what is the answer? Is there an answer? Is there a way out? Is there a cure? Yes. The loving kindness of God in providing you. Get on your knees, woman. Get on your knees. Get on your knees and cry out to him. Get on your face. Get on your face before God. They have mercy on you, wicked-hearted woman. So like I say, the loving kindness of God in providing you with a Savior, providing you with a way out, a way of escape. So loved this wicked world. Even, it's amazing, it's astonishing. Even wicked-hearted, even a wicked-hearted woman like that, even you. I mean, who are you that God should love you? I mean, that's, to me, God's judgment, his wrath, his curse. No surprises, no amazement there to me. So wonder the world still exists to me. That's not the amazing, the astonishing thing to me is that God so loves this world. So loves, who are you that God should love you? You denied his very existence. You have lived godless life. You wicked, evil sinners. What are you that God should love you. The women in this book, what are they like? Huh? What the Bible says about women? They should remain silent. Of course, that is in the church. But like I say, friends, throughout this amazing night to me, that God should love you. That's the answer to death. That's the answer to hell. The loving kindness of God, that He should so love the world and give His only begotten Son, give Him up to the death of the cross, that is, to suffer, bleed, and die, and rise again from the dead in order that you might escape sin, death, and hell. The loving kindness of God. That's the answer. But you don't want that. You don't want that. Doesn't matter how God comes to you. Doesn't matter how His servants come to you. They come in wrath. Oh, we don't want that. We come to you with love. Oh, we don't want that either. Why? Because you want nothing but your sin. That's all you want. Your godless, unrighteous, unholy, ungodly life. That's all that you want. But the end of that's death. Eternal, everlasting death. Only one answer. The loving kindness of God. And here's more astonishment for you. Here's more amazement for you. That Jesus Christ, the King of glory, seated at the right hand of God, presently, now, this very moment, me, His servant, pleads with you that you be reconciled to God.
Can I get free Bible?
If that's that love, I don't know what it is. What?
Can I get a free Bible?
I don't know. Do you want one?
Yeah.
What do you want it for? You don't sound very serious to me. I'll tell you what, I'll go halfway with you. John's Gospel. Start with that one, yeah?
Thank you.
When you've read that, come back and I'll give you a Bible, yeah? So like I say, friends, amazing astonishment that Jesus Christ should plead with you. The word actually goes deeper than that. The word is beg. Yeah? Beg you to be reconciled to God. And why would the Son of God do that? Well, because He knows. He knows the reality of death. He's tasted it. What it actually means. It's not just, you stop breathing. It's that you forfeit everything good, everything comfortable, everything nice. You forfeit life. You forfeit God, His comfort, His blessings. And you gain nothing but the damnation of hell. And Jesus knows what that's like too, because in the Bible, there's nobody but the loving Savior Jesus who speaks more about hell than anybody else in the Bible. And He speaks about it very, very graphically. It's horrors, it's trauma. He knows what it is. And that's why He begged you to be reconciled to God. Today, while you may, while you have the breath of life in you, while salvation is freely offered to you, the free grace of God, freely offered to you, set before you, yours for the taking. How do you get a gift? Ask a child. You just reach out the hand and you take it. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. You take His Son, you receive Him, that's all. Not asking you to jump through religious hoops. None of that. Just simply take, receive the gift that's offered to you, and you get salvation. You come to me, says Jesus. Just come to me. I'll do all the rest. Just come to me. I'll give you life. I'll give you my righteousness. I'll give you my risen life in you. And you will live forever. You will never see death. I tell you and all the world today, never mind Macclesfield, In all the world today, there is not an offer like that being made that I'm making to you here this afternoon. Take Jesus and live. It's yours for the taking. It's that simple. It's that simple. So like I say, friends, read about it. I have Bibles. I have New Testaments. Gospel of John. Read God's word for yourself. See that these things are so. See what God has to say about you. Learn about Jesus, what he has done, in order that you might be saved from death. Let these words burn into your heart and mind. Yeah? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Answer, no. But Jesus would. Jesus could and Jesus would. Should you come to him, trust in him, believe in him, confide in him. Read God's word. It's offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you, none whatsoever. You got a question? Feel free to come and ask it. Try my best to answer it. Haven't got the answers to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do have the answer to the most important question of them all. How does a man get right with God? What do I have to do to be saved? Answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if you'd like somebody pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. Macclesfield sinners, may God bless you and have mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying soul.